Okay, we're in Simon Hay. Actually, we're up to Sif Hay, which is just a smaller. I don't remember if we have. I learned it last week. The main thing will be Sif Vav and Zion today. After Shia last week, one of our members, who was an experienced teacher, said that you can't just explain all the parts of the body like that. You have to have a diagram. So he was kind enough to give me a diagram, which is the flat one on the front. I don't know which one you want to call the front, but the one that's less descriptive. The color picture was his. I think the black and white one might be a little clearer as far as the metzias here, although I'd want to clean these up before the children come down on Shabbos afternoon. It's very important to understand the diagram, because if, hey, most of the shaylos we've spoken about in the past are issues that they are heterim l'maisa. Today we're going to deal with the more difficult Sifav and Zion, with two of the more difficult situations. So I'll ask you to take a look at the diagram, the black and white one, which explains. We had a klal in the beginning of the simin that the psula p'tzua daka is in gimel evarim. In Sif Beis, it said begimel evarim efshar sheyifsal hazachar. It said that there are three parts of the body where a male could become a apostle, and they are the gid, the bayim, and the shvilei hazera. The gid is explained in Sif Beis through hay, and a little bit in Sif Vav today, then the bayim, and then the shvilei hazera in Sif Ches and on. So we go from one to the next. But it's very important to understand the physical metzias as we have it, as it's described here. The important point here is the bayim, the testicle, which is in the sac, the scrotum, which of course there's one on each side. And what? So which is the shvilei hazera? It is assumed, and we're going to maybe question that a little bit next time, is that the vas deferens is the shvil hazera. Now I would like to explain a little of what takes place. In the bayim, the zera, the sperm, is formed. The sperm is not the liquid material of an ejaculation. It is the half cells that are inside, and they're the sperm. They're what fertilizes the woman's ovum, and they're developed in the testicle. And they travel through the epididymis, which we have not yet discussed. The epididymis, incredibly, is a pathway which, if you were to stretch it out, it's a rolled up coil, which if you were to stretch it out would be 20 to 30 feet long. It's obviously very narrow, and a long pathway through which the sperm travels. For the most part, the sperm develops there. Sperm has to be properly viable, has to mature for 75 days, 75 to 90 days, in order for it to totally mature. Chazal called nisbashel hazera, which we'll talk about later. Nisbashel means it ripens, which I guess is an expression, and then it comes out. People who have issues with a proper sperm count are often told to avoid hot showers or hot mikveh, because heat causes the zera to travel more rapidly through the epididymis, and sometimes it's not fully developed. When they do a test on the sperm, they don't just count the sperm, but they also test the ability of the sperm to move or swim, which if it's not fully developed, it doesn't happen. Now, after it goes through the epididymis, which as I said is on the testicle, it goes through this pathway, the vas deferens, which I described to you as a keshes, as a as a bow, and you could see her in the body. Now, obviously, there's one on each side. Each of the bayim has this, and it makes this long, relatively long trip through the, we'll call it the Shvil HaZera, the Vest Deference, the pathway of the Zera, and it comes all the way around. Now, here is where there's an important explanation that they get to Sivvav. You can see the Zera travels through this vast deference. It gets the semen, which is the liquid of Zera, in two places. Some of it in what's described as the seminal vesicle, which gives it semen, and also in the prostate. Now, we're not going to discuss this week prostate surgery. We'll get to that in a different week. The prostate in the picture is not exactly accurate. It's drawn this way so you can understand it. The prostate actually encircles the whole shvil, the whole urethra, which comes. Now, here's an important thing. You see the bladder. The bladder, of course, holds the urine. When it comes around, it joins together with the shvil meiraglayim. Shvil meiraglayim is the pathway from the bladder to the urethra. That's where the urine comes. And what comes around is where the zera comes. The nature of the body is that during ejaculations, urine doesn't come out, only zera. If somebody has urine mixed in with the zera, it indicates a problem, as we'll discuss later. And it goes through the prostate, and now you can see it's one shvil, it's one path that goes all the way out of the body. Okay, now a psul of Kloshevcha, the Shulchan Aruch Sebefeish Yosef Beis, is Echad B'Gimel Eivarim, either a psul in the Gid, which we described last week as a Nekev or a cut, and the other is in the Beyim, which we're going to have in Siv Zayin. And the other is the Shvil HaZera, which for today's purposes is this the vast deference, which it seems most Paiskim hold is the Shvil HaZera. Now, so all this, I think, is fine and well. We understand if a person, lo aleinu, has to be examined for the prostate, rather than go through a lab type of test, a doctor can put his finger into the anus or the rectum and feel the prostate and see it's located in a, God put it in a handy place that a physician could test, could feel if it's enlarged or not. So it can be done that way. Now, of course, if insurance covers the CAT scan, they do it that way, which is almost as efficient but much more profitable. So this is the way the body is constructed. It's part of the Rabbeinu Shalom's miracle. Now, before we learn Sivav, there is a major problem with the Gemara. The Gemara appears in two places, in Yevamis, in this sugya, on Daf Ayin Hey, I believe, and in Bechayris on Daf Mem Daled. And the Gemara explains the anatomy in a way that does not fit with this picture. The Gemara says, I didn't bring the Gemara, I just brought the Aruch HaShulchan who quotes the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Shnei Nekavim Yesh Begid. There are two holes, it seems to say, there are two holes in the Aver. Be'echad Moitzi Zera, u'be'echad Moitzi Meiraglayim. There are two pathways. In one, the Zera comes out of the body, and one urine comes out of the body. And the wall between them is very, very thin. And the Gemara discusses the question of a hole in that klipas hashum. So again, we're describing two canals, one that takes the urine out, one that takes out the shichva zera. Now, what happens if there's a hole between the two pathways? So that either urine could go out through the Shechva Zera pathway, or Shechva Zera could go out of the urine pathway. So the Gemara says that if the Shechva Zera comes out through the urine pathway, that makes the person a kreshavcha. It makes a person possible. Read the Mechaber. It's a Mechaber here. Nistam Sivav. I'm going to Sivav. Sifhei just describes the Nekev of the Gid. Sivav. Nistam Shvil Shichvazera. If the pathway of the Shichvazera is sealed, is blocked up. And the Zera wanted to get out, so a hole formed between the pathway of the Shechva Zera and the pathway of the urine. That makes him a possible bikal. Now what that means, the way we understand the simple meaning, is that if there's a nekev, and a person sees that that the zera comes out of that nekev, so it's a psul. It's a psul if it comes from the shvil of the zera we already learned before. It's a psul, and if it comes from the shvil of the urine, if zera comes out, it's a problem. What would come out from what we say here in the mechaber is a kula. If a man would have a nekev, which could passel him, when he urinates, the urine comes out through there. In other words, the people who have this, they urinate the normal way, but also the urine drips out of the additional nekev, which is in the urethra. So if we take this Gemara, it should not passel, because it shows that the hole is in the nekev meraglayim. There's no reason to think the hole is in the neck of Shechvazera. And since they're two different pathways, therefore there is no problem. Now the problem with this is that this Metzius is not true. There's no Havamina, there's nothing to debate. The Aver has one Nekev, and both the urine and the Shechvazera come out of the same Nekev. And it's been that way for at least 150, 200 years by the observation of the Gedolei HaPoskim. So, excuse me? Yeah. Right.
And probably, of course, the Nima might make a hole in between the two openings.
It's not exactly what Nima Matzala means. It could be, but Nima La Pasa means that the Nima will be caught when the Nekev opens, and when the Nekev closes, it'll catch the Nima, and when he pulls out, he'll do damage to himself. That's real. Even if there's only one Nekev, that Gemara makes sense. Because he'll do damage. And what?
How is it possible to go from one shvil to the other? You need two Nekovim. One exit and one entrance.
No, the Gemara is talking about if the wall between them has a hole, so it goes out from one to the other. If the wall between two shvilim has a hole, if the wall creeps a shum, if the hole goes out, then that's what the Gemara is talking about.
The hole is in both of them.
It would be in the wall between both of them. Yeah, but I'm talking now, we don't know there's a hole between them. We know there's a hole outside of the body that goes in.
So
now, if a hole goes in and nothing comes out of the hole, it's kosher. We said, you're baidik a person. If a person has such a hole, you're baidik to see if it's nistam nekev, if things come out, nothing comes out, it's kosher. A nekev in the Eivet, it doesn't go through to the Shvil HaZera, or even if it did and it got healed, it's kosher. So when you bite at the person, if meraglayim comes out, then there's no issue, because that shows that the hole is to the meraglayim, and that has nothing to do with fertility. That has zero to do if they're separate shvilim. So that's the issue. The issue is we don't see two shvilim. So the only way he knows the hole inside is when he urinates, if he sees that the zera comes out, or when he ejaculates, if the zera comes out with the urine, then he would know. If they're two shvilim, when he ejaculates, no urine should come out. If urine comes out, then he knows. That's the way.
That
never happened. What? It wouldn't happen unless there's the two tunnels are somehow mixed across. Now, there are two approaches to this. What's most quoted is the Chazon Ish, simply because the Chazon Ish is a more contemporary sefer, and he says it must be Nishtana HaTeva, that things changed. We find at least a few things where the nature changed, and here too it could be that the nature changed and that the anatomy changes. It's without a question that this is a much bigger chiddush. To say that the anatomy in the body changes is a much bigger chiddush than the other types of areas where we say nishtana ateva. We say certain things used to be a refuah, now they don't heal. Women used to have regular periods, and now they have irregular periods. Or whatever you want to say, this is a much bigger chiddush to say nishtana ateva, that the structure of the human body inside changed. If you're stuck, I guess that'll have to be our conclusion. That in the 2,000 years since the Gemara was written, or the 1,600 years since the Gemara was written, these things changed.
The 8-month baby also.
The 8-month baby, Rav Shem Zalman writes, the Gemara says 8-month baby can't survive, 8-month pregnancy. Rav Shem Zalman says he's not sure that the Metzias changed. He thinks the Refuah has changed. So, but there is it. The Gemara says, Yeledes Tisha, Eino Yeledes the Mekutayim. There's no question that in the time of the Gemara, a 9-month pregnancy was exactly 270 or 271 or 272 days. 9 months times 30 days is 270. After Bia, it takes up to 72 hours for pregnancy to occur. Now, this was a physical fact. The Gemara says that to avoid giving birth on Shabbos, people used to do Bia on those days of the week where she wouldn't give birth on Shabbos. It was like clockwork that they gave birth 270 days after she became pregnant. And that changed. That Metzias changed. That Metzias existed to the extent that when we had a suffix about Chalitza, if a woman gave birth, and we were not sure if it's a 9-month a 9-month pregnancy from the dead husband was Mechayev Chalitza, or a 6-month pregnancy later. So if we would count exactly 270 or 71, 72 days, and if the numbers didn't fit, then we would know that it's a 7-month pregnancy. Now my point is that certain things were Nishtana Ateva. There's no question that the typical 9-month pregnancy is changed. It's less exact. But still, here everybody would like a better explanation than the Chazon Ish. And in the Yeshua Smalka is Bishula Kutner. Bishula Kutner is not so well known because the Svarim are not popular, and they're not. He doesn't have many Svarim that survived. But the Rav Shula Kutner, Pam told me, he was the Gadol Hadar in the generation before Pam, in the late 1800s. And during the Radzinis Tumulov Tcheles, everyone turned to Yeshua Smalka, to him to be the Machria, which was about the 1890s, I guess. And he was in the Gadolei Hadar of that generation. He also said that the Gid only has one Shvil. Says when the Gemara says Shnei Shevilin Yesh, it means before it leaves the body. It doesn't mean before it leaves the Gid. Before it leaves the body to enter the male parts of the body, that when it's still in the body, there is a place which is near the prostate where the two Shevilin are two, and where they come together. And it's at that point that Chazal were referring Ein Ben Eim HaKaklipas Hashum, and they talked about the consequences of that. That, however, the plumbing works in the body, ejaculation during the healthy and normal ejaculation, there's no urine. There's no the body muscles don't give out urine, and if the zera has urine mixed in, it shows that the shvilei zera somehow detouring somehow mixed with the shvilei Meiraglayim, and that's what it says here, that if you have that type of a hole, that's absurd. Now that's his explanation of the Gemara. I have to tell you that when I learned the halachas of Psua Daka, the Sfarim quoted the Chazon Ish, and I did not see the Yeshua's Malkai quoted at all among the contemporary Sfarim. I came upon it last night. I was learning Tshuva Nechakas Yaakov, which I'll maybe I'll get to later, but Nechakas Yaakov, he suggests this, and he brings it in the name Yeshua's Malkai. It's Tshuva Yudches. All of Rabbi Shula Kutner's surviving Sfarim were put into one pretty slim sefer, and in it has his chiddushim on the Gemara, on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Rambam, and his tshuvas.
It's almost impossible to discover that.
The only way to discover it is from the output, from the mixture
so
of them.
You have to be choshes and then analyze it.
Look, we're teaching you the halacha, how they analyzed it.
No,
they found if a man, every time he ejaculates, has urine mixed in, there's something wrong with him. He has to investigate what the problem is. It shouldn't happen. It doesn't mean he can't have children, but it means that there's something going on inside that's not the way it should be.
How does he know?
Not everybody's such a big tzaddik that he doesn't know what comes out, and often you can smell urine if there's urine mixed in. You can smell the urine. Yeah, we're talking about a person who's functioning normally and discovers a problem. That's what we're talking about. Look, I'm not selling you on the Yeshua's Malka's Pshat, you know, Chazainish's Pshat, which is easier to deal with. Nishtana Teva, Nishtana Teva, and then, you know, there's nothing to ask about it, and it could be that's a Metzius. Now, I had a problem with Yeshua's Malka. If it's true that it mixes in the body, and when it comes out, it's all in one pathway. So remember, we spoke about the Gemara. The Gemara said that if someone has a neck of a negid, so he has to get tested. He has to have an erection and have a bimaitzi zera and see if that hole is nistam, because the hole in the negid only passes if it goes through to the zera and the zera comes out from there. So the Gemara said that he should have a kishui. And the Gemara gave the eitz of putting something warm near the rectum, and it warms up the causes a kishui, and to see, to observe if the zera comes out of the nekev. That's what the Gemara said. Couldn't Yeshua's Malkai, why does he just urinate and see if it comes out? If it's all one pathway in the gid, so it bothered me, why does he just urinate and check if it comes out? If it's all one shvil, so why does he have to go through zera, being mitzi zera? Let him urinate and see if it comes out. What do you say to that kasha? It's a good kasha. You want to test if the nekev goes all the way through the shvil. So we're saying, let him ejaculate and see if it comes out of the nekev. Not a good kasha? Let him urinate, which he probably does occasionally anyway, and see if it comes out through the hole. If he's testing, we're talking about a hole in the gid. So a hole in the gid, if there are two pathways, I understand. There are two shvilin, urine may come out, but zera may not come out.
What's the zera doing there, though?
What? So that's what I was saying. The answer would be, what? But the kasha is good kasha. The contest would be that the zera is thicker. So even though Meraglayim comes out, it's not a raya, that zera would come out. Sounds like a good teretz.
So,
what? Worried about a hole in the gid itself. There's a totally different issue. They're everywhere, in the body, everything is kosher. He just observes Rahman al-Aslan and Nekev in the gid. Anywhere in the gid itself, where it says corpus, whatever you want to call it. No, I'm just talking about a new thing. The Gemara I'm talking about it. I'm using kasha on Yeshua's Malka. The Gemara, I'm talking about a new case, okay? The Gemara has its separate case, a nekev in the gid. A nekev in the gid makes him an apostle if it goes all the way through to the shvil and shechvazera comes out. So the Gemara said, test him. Let him have a kishui. Let the zera come out. Hopefully it won't come out. If it comes out, he's pasul. If it doesn't come out, he's kosher. So I'm asking, that Gemara makes sense if there are two shvilin. So you can't test with Meraglayim, because even if Meraglayim comes out, maybe that's the only proof there's a hole to that pathway. But the other one, maybe not. But now Yeshua Smalka is saying there was only one pathway, even in the time of the Gemara. So why not just test with him urinating and see if it comes out?
The kishui
may cause it.
Okay,
so Zevo's saying that the meraglayim is more fluid than the thicker zera. So the fact that meraglayim comes out is not a raya that the zera comes out, which is correct. I would think we should still first test him with meraglayim. If no meraglayim comes out, he's kosher. The meraglayim do come out, then you go to the second stage of testing this. So it could be the answer is that maybe if he has when he has an erection, it may change the likelihood when the muscles are tight, it might somehow seal the hole, maybe stretch the hole, probably seal the hole. When the blood vessels are longer, I don't know if that would stretch the hole or tighten the hole. I don't know. If there's the doctors, I'm not sure.
But the zera stays in the testicle until there's no zera in the gid in the course of the
right.
So if you urinate, you're not going to see zera in there anyway.
Right. But still, but who cares? If lamaisa, the hole is not mighty meraglayim, there certainly is not mighty shavazera. It's the same hole to the same pathway. So, yeah.
If the line to the seminal vesicles, in other words, the semen,
right,
that blocked.
That doesn't matter.
The shavazera is coming out, not with the semen.
It's not exactly that way. Also, the prostate contributes semen. Not all the semen comes from these from the what they call the seminal vesicle. Some of it comes from the prostate, but if there's no semen, I don't think you would observe sperm coming out. Here's the doctor. Sperm is a half cell. It's not something visible. And even though a teaspoon of zera has, I believe, 80 million sperm. Amazing, Hashem created the book. Think how tiny it is. 80 million sperm. The ejaculation, okay. Although the semen without it comes out the same kaya. That's what they say when they talk about vasectomies. Okay, anyway, my purpose here is to just give an explanation of two explanations of what it says here. And one way or the other, what it says here is that if there's a hole from one to the other, it passes. In the gid, it'll never happen because everyone agrees, whether you go to Yishus Yaakov, Yishus Malkai, or the Chazainish, everyone agrees that there's no, there's only one pathway in the gid. That's not, today there's no question. So this psul either doesn't exist, or would only exist in the rare case that it's inside the body and it was somehow discovered. Yeah. I am concerned. I can't hear you. I'm getting old. The doctor told me female voices, high pitched voices, I hear well, and male voices, I can't hear. I asked him if it's possible to reverse that and do it the other way, and so he laughed. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We speak about sunrise and sunset.
Right.
We know today that there is no such thing as sunrise and
sunset. There certainly is. It's observed. All right, I don't want to get into it. The New York Times seems to hold this sunrise every day. If you want to call them cavemen, you could. The New York Times says it's sunrise every day. Even the Times. That I haven't looked at the Times in probably 20 years, but 20 years ago. That's, yeah. Anyway, and therefore... It's very, very difficult to say that Chazal, who understood far more than science did in that time about Zera, had a misunderstanding about Shtei Shvilin at the Reish HaGid. is a very, very difficult, and I think just not true. I don't think it's so. I mean, Dr. Babich has commented many times, how do Chazal know that sperm is viable for 72 hours? In the time of the time that the Talmud was written, they didn't even know sperm exists. How did they know? It was all from the manufacturer, from Abi Mesira. Anyway, well, the Chazal made such a mistake, everything could be. All right, let's get to the issue where Siv Vav comes up. Siv Vav tells us, Nistam Shil Shechvazera, it's a psul. And the Shechvazera comes out through the Merik Laim, it's a psul. And certainly, if it doesn't come out at all, certainly it's a psul. So the issue is a vasectomy. Now, this is one of the sad cases of this sif. A vasectomy is a method in the world today of male contraception, permanent male contraception. What's a vasectomy? A vasectomy is that the doctor cuts the shvil hazera, the vas deferens. He cuts it and cauterizes the two ends, or ties the two ends, and the zera cannot get from the testicle to the point of ejaculation. So a cut is made in the vas deferens, and that itself is nistam shil shefazera. It's mamish the sif.
Why do they do it?
Yes. They do it for sterilization. They don't want to have to. It's a type of male birth control. Sort of a permanent. We'll talk about the reversing it later, but it's a male birth control. It's done once, and the person is that way for the rest of his life. About 5% of American males have had a vasectomy, according to the statistics from the medical profession.
You know, that's what they sometimes see tonight.
That's
what it is. Is that the way they used to do it?
I have no idea. No, they didn't, because they want you shouldn't have typhus notion. When a vasectomy is done, the taivas nashim remains. The taiva, the ability to have an erection and be and ejaculate remains. The ejaculation is pure semen without sperm mixed in. If it would take away the taivas nashim, people wouldn't do it. But the taivas nashim stays the same, according to the doctors, and the physical, everything that's physically seen in intercourse and in ejaculation is the same. Under a microscope, there is no sperm in the semen. But as I told you, the sperm is a very tiny piece of the part of the zera, and therefore therefore people do it because it doesn't affect it. Now, obviously, if 5% of American males have it, that would mean that a certain percentage of Balei Tshuva would have it. Now, fortunately, Balei Tshuva typically are in their 20s, in their teens or 20s, and it's not common for someone at that age to permanently have such a thing. However, in older Balei Tshuva, it happens. And remember, we're not talking about them having children. We're talking about being mutter to their wives. They become Balei Tshuva. And if they had a vasectomy, they have a din of a psuadaka, a kreshufcha, and they're also to their wives. They have to separate from their wives, which is an issue.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
They don't have beer, they still have to
tell their wives. The paiskim allow to stay together without beer. Not to get married in the first place, but after the fact, to stay together without attachment.
Well,
which is an option for elderly people sometimes, but for younger people, it's not.
Wounded soldiers also, unfortunately.
What?
Wounded soldiers. I think that would be wounded.
And it could happen to wounded, yeah, of course it could happen. Now, there are two pieces to this. One is, where in this shvil is the cut made? If the cut is made in the Pnim HaGuf, we could talk about it, about whether that itself is a psul. And I want to talk about it. However, the fact of the matter is, the way a vasectomy is done today, it's done in the sac, in the scrotum. It's done there. It's an in-office procedure. It's not a hospitalization procedure. they make an incision and they go in and they rip the they grab onto and rip or cut the shvil hazera. Today they do it what they call a no scalpel procedure, without a cut, they just make a hole. And today, through a hole, they could do so many things, and they go in and they cut the they cut it, and after an hour of recovery, the person walks out. Of course, he can still impregnate a woman because, as I told you, for 75 to 90 days, the zera that already made its way through may be somewhere in the pathway. If it's in the epididymis, it's still trapped below the cut. But afterwards, not. So I don't know exactly how many days, but he can still cause pregnancy. But after a period of time, he can't anymore. And either way, even if it's that day, he becomes a kras shefcha, and that is not a question in the paiskim. The question is repairing it. A surgical repair takes place by going in, taking the two ends that were severed, and stitching them back together again. And stitching them back together and reopening the shvil hazera. If the repair is done, there's no question that he becomes mutter. We said already last time that these psulim are reversible. There's a nekev in the gid through which zera comes out. He's a kroshofcha. If it heals, as most holes tend to heal in the body, he becomes mutter. The same thing here. If this can be repaired, then the person is mutter. And again, I think there's no discussion about it. There is a discussion about the following. We have to remember that all the psulim in this simin is only bidei adam. If someone is born with any of these defects, he's mutter bakal. Kroshavcha is only bidei adam. We have a hekesh to mamzer. A mamzer is layave b'kal Hashem, and it was caused by a human being, not by the mamzer himself, by his parents, but it was caused by a human being. Same thing, kroshavcha mtsuadaka is only a psul when it's caused by bidei adam. If it's bidei shamayim, meaning let's say a person was born that way, or somehow it happened on its own. What? So we're going to learn, we'll get to that. If it's an avalanche, bidei shamayim, Pashtus, that's called bidei adam, but we'll get to the sif that discuss, or even a disease, we'll have chaluk ideas. But if he's born that way, there's no question, he's not asa bekal. If Rahman HaTzal, son was born with this defect, if it's on one side and not the other, he's okay. A person can be perfectly fertile today with one baya, with one testicle, and it happens. We had earlier this year a couple in the yeshiva that had a baby, and the baby only had one testicle. The other testicle had lost its blood flow and was born on birth was no good. And so I told them that it won't affect his life. One testicle person can be just as fertile as with two. And so if a person's born with this break in one of them, he wouldn't go for surgery because the other one still works, and Shalom Yisrael. Ramesh has a tshuva about someone who Rachmanu Litzlan, he doesn't have zera coming out, the sperm coming from either side, and wants to have the surgery. What's the shayla? All right, nice bidei shamayim. The surgery, the reason it's sometimes unsuccessful is because of the stitching and the scar tissue. The stitching and the scar tissue can block the shvil. Notice they take the two ends, there's two parts of a pipe, and they sew it together, but it's tiny. And sometimes they cause a new blockage by the stitching or the scar tissue that are being caused bidei adam. So Moshe was asked if that, here you have a man who's kosher bekal, because it's bidei shamayim, he's born that way. By going to the surgery, he'll resolve the rip, it'll get stitched up, but I'll have a new steam hashvil as a result of the surgery. And Ramesh in the tshuva says that that's not a psul. For one thing, a saris achasaris, he says, when a person already doesn't have the zera coming, there's no Ein Saras Achasaras, but more importantly, Ramesha says a different Yisayid. And this we're going to talk about at length next time. I don't know if it's next week or next time, we'll discuss that. But Ramesha wants to say the following Chiddush, and we'll see. Our ace in the hole is a Bidei Shemayim. The person has a problem, and it happened Bidei Shemayim, not through a human being, so he's Kasha Bakal, he's not a apostle. The question is, if a person is born with a condition, and later, because of that condition, it results in a follow-up psul, as in this case, it was ripped. In order to stitch it together, you have to risk creating scar tissue. Until now, nothing was there. So Ramesh's chiddush is that's also called Bidei Shamayim. Because the person was born with a condition where in order to have children he has to do something, and that something is a repair for his condition, but it may cause new issues. And so Ramesh holds that this is a chelik beis of Evan Ezra, Tshuva Lamed. Tshuva Lamed Aleph, to follow up, he has a second reason, the din of Ein Saras Achasaras, meaning if a person already is unable to have children, the second doesn't pass. But al kaponim, the repair is done, has different levels of efficacy of it working. In the Igris Maisha, he brings statistics about how often it works. The statistics, obviously, in the last 50 years have changed, but the bottom line is that it depends how soon it's done after the vasectomy. If it's 20 years later, it's not likely to succeed. If it's within 3 years, it's overwhelmingly likely to succeed. You know, from 3 to 20, there's a sliding downhill scale of likelihood of the repair being successful. But this is, I guess, the most heartbreaking of all the shaylos of this simin, where for most of them we have an eitzah, somebody who becomes frum and already had a vasectomy, is unless he can be repaired, it's heartbreaking that it's an issue. What? See, bivuta to a mamzeres. Bivuta to a mamzeres. You know, the truth is normally like a ger is bivuta to a mamzeres, but then the children are mamzerim. See, he doesn't want to marry a mamzeres. This means he can't have children anyway. He doesn't have that inhibiting factor. He would marry a mamzeres. He's also bekal, which is muta b'mamzer. Muta b'mamzer or beger. Okay, beger is the mamzeres. So. Yeah. Yeah, assuming she's no longer married, of course. But yeah, of course. Okay, so this is the... yeah. Muta bekal, that's his finish. Okay. No, we mean if it's Bidei Shemayim. Yeah, it's Bidei Shemayim. Now clarify, a person who is a Psuah Daka is not Mutter, is Mutter to Giyaris or Mamzeres, but yeah. Okay. Okay, so this is Sivav Nistam Shvil Shechvazera. There's a second discussion. All the place can talk about a vasectomy, like Ramesha writes, I spoke to a doctor, he said the name of the doctor about how it's done. The place can investigate. And as far as I know, the vasectomy is always done in the kiss. The shaila would be, what happens if they do a vasectomy higher up in the body? As you can see, the vas deferens goes all the way up and around. If they would do it higher up in the body, would that be a psul? What's the shaila? The shaila is that Chazal describe the Evarei HaZachar as being in the area of the male Evarim, where the shvil goes back all the way up into the body, above the bladder. Is that spot still called Shvilei HaZera? Technically it is, but it was included in Chazal's Isser. I want to remind you, Ramesh's Tshuva about an undescended testicle, that a baby is born and the testicle is in the stomach, is still in the stomach, it forms in the stomach, and during pregnancy it works its way down to the kiss. if it's in the stomach and understand the testicle, so they do surgery to pull it down and put it in the right place. It's a hernia surgery. They get it through the whatever it is that's blocking it, and they push it back into the kiss. So Moshe had a shaila in cases where the testicle has to be removed for one reason or another, or where they take a biopsy of the testicle, which might have other heterim. But Ramesha says it's mutter because a testicle in the body is not in the halachis of Eivarei HaZachar. A beya in the kiss where it belongs, that has a din of Eivarei HaZachar. A beya that's in the guf where it doesn't belong, so that doesn't have a din of a beya. That's Ramesha's psak. And the question becomes whether something in the shvil all the way around, whether this is a psul. You follow the question? But so is only the lower part or all around.
But
yeah, when it's fixed, there's no issue.
Yes,
when you fix it.
Why is it say that it's not? It says while it's on the top, it's not.
Don't understand the testicle. Yeah, the question comes after the fact, when they removed it for whatever reason, or they did a biopsy. The other reasons, a biopsy is not an issue, but if it was an issue, that's the question. If there are reasons, normally an undescended testicle is not a danger. You have to wait. They don't do it to a tiny baby. They wait till it's a few months old, I think 6 months old, the last I heard, and they do. They call it a hernia surgery. That's how the doctors describe it. It's a hernia surgery, which is the rip in the what separate the top of your body and bottom of your body are separated, that's in the hernias when the kishas go where they don't belong, and so that's the question of above the genital area whether that's included. Now according to Yeshua's Malka, is definitely included. Yeshua's Malka said that the two shvilin is all the way up, so he definitely holds that it's included. Aruch HaShulchan deals with it. He says, which psul is it? You have a stima, you have a blockage in the shvil, somewhere in the body. So if it's a hole, it's a hole. But it says here, nistam. So what is nistam? It's not, we said, you have three psulim. Krus, a cut. Psua, a wound. Or daka, or if it's squashed, if it's flat. Nistam, stima sa shvil. What exactly, where does that fit into the psulim of that we're talking about? The Aruch HaShulchan in Sekhat and Tezvav seems to struggle with it. He says, he's talking about this sif, nistam. This is afa gav she'ein ze loy ptsua, v'loy dach, v'loy krus, v'komak in kimlu l'chazal, da zera inim spashelas k'she'elecha shloy b'mkayma. The zera doesn't develop properly when it's not where it belongs. Ben yochel lahaylid, and it doesn't. A person can give birth that way. And he says kimlu lachazal. He struggles later. Meiramba vitur shulchan aruch is mashed a certain way. He goes into this issue, but he does say that it's like an additional type of soul. If it's nistam shvilei hazera, and it's not subject to the rules of the three. So even though the three are in that makim, and nistam shvil would be a psul anywhere. So it's not an eitzah. Even if it was cut higher up, it would cause an issue, and so it doesn't really resolve the difference. In theory, if somebody was a fraya person and they wanted to go through a vasectomy and wanted to remain mutar b'kol, if there would be such a metzias, the question is if he could do it in other parts, other areas where it would not passel him. According to Aruch HaShulchan, it would passel him. It's a chiddush though to say the mitzvah base of begimul makayim is tizapsol, and now we're saying oh kimlul chazal, there's one more, which is sivav. So in Kabbalah and the Kabbal. What can he do? Okay, if he could duchin or get an aliyah as a kayin, is tali in the Beishmul and the chakas machaikak in the beginning of the simon. The first chakak machaikak held that he becomes pasul lakuhuna. If he's a kayin who has any of these, then he becomes pasul lakuhuna. That was the sheet of the Chakas Mechaikak, Aleph, and the Beishmuel there disagreed. And I think most Paiskim do disagree. The Beis Meir and the Pesachei Tshuva disagrees. So the Lamaisa of it is that we let him. The Prima Gadim in Hilchas Aliyah writes it's a Suffolk. If such a Kohen could get the Aliyah. What? So that's the thing. The Gemara uses a Lashon. That's what troubles the Chakas Mechaikak. The Gemara uses a Lashon that it's a Begam in his Kedusha. So it is. So therefore, he even says he's Mutter in a Grusha. So.
The Kohen is a doctor, a medical doctor. Is he on
the Kohen is a doctor? Why not? Yeah, a Kayin who does Averis is still a Kayin. He's a Kayin Mummer. A Kayin Mummer. Now, the question is, could a Mummer Dukhin? That's a separate issue. But nothing on me. Yeah. I once asked Rebelski about a certain Hefsher coming out of Philadelphia. There's a Rav's name. So I asked Rebelski about him. He says, oh, him. He's an Orthodox rabbi, but he's a Kayin. And he's in one of the very modern Orthodox shuls where the main source of income is doing funerals. So he paskin that kaisha machal kvaide kvaide machal. So he resigned from the kahuna, and he does funerals, and he doesn't get the aliyah anymore. Maybe he also can get the first aliyah at chacham. I don't know, but and he felt the hefshu was not reliable. I should add. I haven't seen shuvas about chayalim, no. I'm sure there are. I haven't seen. There are shuvas about those who suffered under Mengele in World War II, which I hope we'll get to. If you can stomach all this, we'll try to get to. Now, there is a very long Pesachei Shuvas of cotton hay. It deals with one shaila that repeatedly occurred among many Gedalim, and it's a lumdish shaila, even though the physical shaila is not so pleasant. The basic shaila, it seems to have happened numerous times, is when little boys were playing around, and I don't know where this came from. Little boys were playing around, and they tied a string around one boy's gid. That was their game. Why it was the game? I'm not asking. As far as I know, it's not a common game in our time. But you have to remember, they had no toys. They played with their bodies, I guess. I don't know. So they tied a string around the kid. And subsequent, now that itself didn't passel anything. But it subsequently caused a hole to develop. I guess it cut off circulation from part of the tissue. And subsequently, it caused the hole to develop. The question is that called Bidei Adam or Bidei Shemayim? Now, children also Bidei Adam. But the Chiddush, which is an important Chiddush going forward, is that the Chachmas Adam Asim. Chachmas Yasa Bekal. But he brings three Gedalei HaPaiskim, the Chem de Shleimai and the Shev Yaakov, and the Beis Ephraim is Naita, that's called Bidei Shemayim. Now listen to the Chiddush. What he's saying is, no person made the hole. The people did A. The children tied the string around the gate. They did something. Then, Bidei Shemayim, that caused that the circulation got cut off, and subsequently it caused something to happen. So the Chiddush of these Paiskim is that that's called Bidei Shemayim. And he writes at the end, if the Chachmas Adam had seen these three Gedalei HaPaiskim, maybe he'd be maskim also, like he wants the Chachmas Adam should be makom. And that's a discussion. Now, it's a grama, but less than a grama. It's a grama, it's a second step grama. A grama is there's a fire, and I put a bottle of water here, and the fire gets here, and the water puts it out. So it's I'm causing it. Here, you caused it, but it's like a sequence of events. The tying of the gid, at the time, if they would untie the gid right away, it would be fine. But it just stayed there long enough, it caught a circulation. When it caught a circulation, tissue died. Once tissue died, it developed a nekev. It's a sequence of events. They can not compare it to... some hold that straight Bidei Shemayim, and others compare... No, I'm sorry. The Gabi de Issasaurus. I'm sorry. This is, they say it's Bidei Shemayim. There's no second reason. They say it's Bidei Shemayim. and the person is mutter bakal. This has to do at the end of the siman. We're going to get to the shaila of neutering animals, which of course in this is the raisa to the Saracen animal. And the question will be, there's a way to do it. If you cut off the blood flow to the testicles, so they slowly die. It's very similar to this case of cutting the string, of tying the string. If you hold that, it's not called really a mysosaurus, it'll be mutter. So Kapanim, this is Sivav, and three more sifim to go. The second if it is simon has to do with this Osiris. So Mitzvah Shem will get to Sivzai. Now, I don't know what next week is, Erev Rosh Hashanah, if many people is a busy day. There are three choices. We can just push it off to 2 weeks from now. We can have a regular shiur, or we can have a shiur in Yonei, either Esrei Geluliv or Sukkah, which what? Prusbel. By the time you come here, you'll have done the Prusbel already. We'll have Prusbel in here. I don't think it's necessary. All the big arichas have to do with the lumdus of a Prusbel. The practical use of a Prusbel is fairly simple. But so what's the vote? Huh? Shlomi wants a shear, so I know at least I'll have one. Okay, two. So you want a shear in Yana Diyayim or in these things? Very diplomatic answer. Good husband. Let's do it Yana Diyayim next week, so that way I'm not here, won't be in. Also, it'll be a little bit of relief from the intensity of the sun.